Thanks very much for joining us for episode 33 of InTech Freight and Logistics, the podcast. I'm Kevin Baxter, and I'm joined by my co-host for this edition, InTech President Shelley Austin. Shelley, thanks again.
Thanks for having me. So
we are talking today opportunities in freight, some mentorship, and more with somebody who has had an exemplary run in the industry, I think is fair to say. So let's jump right in. After a distinguished career with a number of well-known companies, Michelle Livingstone wrapped up a about 15-year tenure as a vice president of transportation with Home Depot in 2021. Both while she had her day jobs and since though, she's also placed heavy emphasis on advancing the industry, leading or serving on a number of boards, and sharing her knowledge with others. Michelle, we appreciate you sharing your knowledge with us today as well.
Thank you for the opportunity.
So I didn't want to get too deep into the details of the resume because it's impressive, and that probably would be a whole podcast of me just reading off the resume. So maybe a quick bit from you on overall what your background in transportation is and what you're doing now.
Sure. So I'm actually one of the folks who went to Indiana University as a business school major, and I concentrated in transportation back in the day. And I have had a very long and lengthy career in the transportation supply chain industry. So I feel pretty fortunate that I had an opportunity to study in school and then go out and do it in real life. So that kind of started the trajectory. And as you mentioned, I've had an opportunity to work for a number of terrific companies, but probably one of my favorites was Home Depot that you mentioned I recently left. But I spent the longest time at Kraft Foods and lived through the Kraft General Foods, Oscar Mayer, and the Nabisco merger and acquisition days. Mm-hmm. So I've had a fun time, and it's all been in transportation and supply chain during that time period.
Yeah, so that got bigger and bigger as it went along then.
It did. It was exciting.
So, an interesting bit that I saw in one of your comments when you did decide to leave Home Depot was you called not retiring, but rewiring were your priorities there a few years ago. So how's your life changed since you left Home Depot and... sounds just from chatting with you a little bit, you're not lacking for things to do.
Yeah, thank you. Well, first of all, I feel like I should explain the rewirement term. I distinctly plagiarized that from our former chief financial officer, Carol Tomei, when she chose to leave Home Depot. And she told everyone she wasn't going to retire, she was going to rewire. And at that point in time, I wasn't really thinking about that. But when my time came, I'm like, wow, that's exactly what I want to do. I want to rewire. I want to stay in the industry and I want to still stay involved, but I'd like to have a little more flexibility. And about 10 years ago, there was a speaker at one of our Women's Link events. Her name was Monica Kaufman Pearson, and she spoke to 900 women at Home Depot. And basically her message was, you need to know when it's time to go. Don't block a spot. And at the time, I kind of took that note away and I thought, that's really interesting. Yeah, I want to block a spot. So as years have gone by, I decided that it was time to move on and I didn't want to block a spot. So I also knew I wanted to get involved with more board work, both public, nonprofit, and private board work. And I thought, the time had come that it was time to move on. So that is what I am doing now. I've had a great time. I serve as an independent director on the board of Werner Enterprises, which is one of the top five trucking companies in the country. And that's been really interesting because my entire background was as a shipper. And I chose that direction primarily because my dad was in trucking almost all my life and most of his. And his one key point of advice to me was, Michelle, go on the shipper side. It's a lot more fun to be a customer. And I took that to heart, right? I mean, I took it to heart. I'm like, okay, this is the shipper side. And I have certainly no regrets. But if I knew then what I know now, I think having an opportunity to work on both sides of the business would have been really, really impactful. So I've learned so much since being on the Warner board and kind of seeing the way the sausage is made on the other side and being able to apply that. And it's been really enlightening. I also serve on the board of Mastery Logistics, which is creating a wonderful transportation management system that's going to really, I believe, change the industry. And there's been great enthusiasm and support from a number of major carriers for that. And they'll certainly build out that tool to include shippers, LTL, in addition to brokerage, dedicated, asset-based, the whole nine yards. So it's going to be really exciting to see what that can do. And then I also serve on the board of Rainbow Village, which is a nonprofit here in the Atlanta area that provides housing to families in need. So that's kind of the way I like to give back to the community. And it's been really rewarding in that regard too.
That's awesome. So Michelle, you've accomplished a lot in logistics and supply chain, obviously, through over the years and everything. And one of the things that I really took note of, it's funny how it's so ironic how you have a discussion earlier in the day and it jumps right back out at you later in the day. So I was just talking with somebody today because they were asking me, well, why did you move from being in the shipper space to being in the service space? And I said, well, the shipper space was great because everybody always talks about go and be in the shipper space. It's the more exciting. And I said, well, I kind of have really enjoyed the service space because you're not siloed to one industry. You get to see the manufacturing, the distribution of all these different commodities and all these different industries. And it makes me think about kind of your history. I mean, you didn't pick the easy pieces of transportation. You had craft and foods and you had temp control and all the food industry. And then you jump into the space where you got oversized, heavyweight, flatbeds and all that other stuff. So tell us, how has our, supply chain and the logistics, how has it evolved? I think that that's an interesting piece of it, of when you started in transportation to where it is today and just kind of some of the highlights that you've noticed in how things have just transformed.
You're right. It has been really exciting because what we didn't talk about is JCPenney, and that's where I got my final mile delivery experience, which is really interesting, as well as the customs. And then CNS Wholesale Grocers does a similar, third-party logistics service provider. So that was also a privately held company. So that provided some different perspectives. And actually part of that, I can't say was is highly intentional, but I did want experience in all modes of transportation. I thought that was part of the excitement. It's always hard to know when it's time to transition to a new role, but part of it is what can I learn that I don't know today? And that generated part of my decisions to make some job changes. But it's really been a lot of fun being in the industry and seeing all that has changed. I think I always say, for those of us who grew up in the Jetsons age, which hopefully is still out there on TV somewhere, the industry is actually starting to migrate to some things that we only dreamed of a few years ago. So I think the data analytics and data science is amazing and is helping to speed up the quality a decision so much faster than what you can do without it, and has made such a huge impact. And the speed in which a decision can be made is tremendous as well. I think, that although we still have work to do, gender diversity is certainly making some inroads, although we definitely still have work to do. And that's one of my personal passions. But that's been a big change. And I think just the level of sophistication in the industry has improved tremendously, which has pleased me greatly over the years. So, I think that, and I may be a little biased, but I think being in the transportation and supply chain industry is phenomenal opportunity, and is even a greater time to be in the industry now than it was when I first started.
Well, something that Michelle, you and I work together on, which is exciting, I believe, is kind of that next generation, right? Talking to the next generation, exciting them about the industry so they don't feel like it's just planes, trains, and automobiles anymore, right? There's a lot of different things within our industry. And I feel like as we talk with students, even if they want to do accounting or they want to do technology or they want to do, you know, economics or engineering, there's a logistics play for all of that. And they don't understand that. They just think it's a truck moving down the road. So with that, how important is it for us to cultivate that next generation in that and kind of put that mix of, like we talked about, the diversity, right? How do we start that earlier on and excite people, the younger people, to get into the industry?
Yeah, well, first of all, Shelley, I just want to say thank you and welcome for joining the Indiana University Transportation Executive Board. And
thank you.
It's been a delightful addition. And I know together we're going to be able to accomplish even more things, and looking forward to that. So with that being said, I do believe that there is still a real opportunity to market what transportation and supply chain are. I certainly, there's nothing like a little COVID for a couple of years talking about supply chain challenges to bring attention to what the industry is. But you're absolutely right. I think the best thing about the supply chain industry is that it is a microcosm of business in general. So you can be an accounting major and be in supply chain. You can be, you know, finance and be in supply chain. You can be in marketing and still be in supply chain. So all of those industries and HR and IT and all of those certainly are ways to, you know, focus on something that you love and bring it to an industry that you can love even more and have even more opportunities. So I think people a lot of times just think of supply chain as just being your basic distribution, transportation, inventory planning, you know, procurement sometimes is in supply chain in some companies, sometimes it's in finance and other places. But, you know, those are basically the core functions of supply chain. But in reality, it truly is all of the business disciplines can be represented. And there are just so many opportunities that once you get in the industry, you can give one avenue a try, and then that can certainly open the door to many other opportunities for you and really provide a long career that is fun and engaging and challenging.
Yeah, I thought it was funny. You know, it's such a small industry, but a big industry. I think we always say that and we're confusing ourselves. But I think where we're coming with that is, I don't know any other industry that has such a tight network. And I thought it was phenomenal. You know, you and I hadn't met, and we meet at the board, and in all of the people that we knew as we started sitting there talking. And I think that's what's so exciting about the younger generation is it's a social, you know, they got all the social media, they got all these connections in these networks. If they take that inherent, you know, capability of what they do today and apply it to what our industry is, they'll find that, what, like you said, once you get in it, rarely does anybody get out of it. Whether that's a good thing or not, I don't know. But
well, I like to think that it's a good thing. And the reason that people choose to stay is because it is so engaging. If you enjoy problem solving, this is definitely the place for you. If you have to have a regular schedule, you want to get up and know that at Tuesday at 10 a.m. you're going to do this, and on Thursday at 3 p.m. you're going to do this. If you like that regularity and that very laid out view, please don't come into supply chain. It's not the right industry for you. You have to really thrive on the change and the opportunities that come up. And you think you have a plan, and then the last minute change occurs that makes you have to go back and rethink, and you have to engage people. It's still very much a data, although it's a data driven industry now, it's still very people oriented, and you have to enjoy working with people to make those things happen. And it's just, to me, it makes so, I couldn't imagine doing anything else, to be honest with you. But but that's what I've always liked about it. I like solving hard problems with wicked smart people and trying to make a difference to both the bottom line. And I think that's the one thing that companies have really come to appreciate, is that supply chain, for better or worse, can have a tremendous impact on the company's bottom line. And to me, that's really important, because then you can see all your progress, and you've got the P&L to show exactly what you've done. You've got the service metrics to indicate how you've been performing, and your view of your customers, both internal and external. And to me, I like the idea of being able to measure what I'm doing to a degree, and then being able to figure out how we can overcome some of the challenges to improve things going forward. It's a continual process improvement.
Absolutely. And I love wicked smart. I'm going to have to use that.
That was my time in New Hampshire.
I was going to say, I'm from Massachusetts. You said, I was like, yeah, you know, you're in Georgia right now. That does not make sense. Does not compute. Yeah. So we touched on it a little bit. You just mentioned, you know, that there's been a lot of progress in terms of the diversity of the industry, but there's also still progress to be had. So how would you grade things right now? It doesn't have to be a letter grade, but how would you say things are right now? And what is there out there to improve still?
Fortunately, a number of universities, in addition to Indiana University, are now focusing on supply chain as a concentration or as a major within the university. And that is allowing us to attract a more diverse population into the industry. So I think we're doing really well getting more diversity in at the entry level and middle levels. Then I think it is still a bit of a challenge to find women and diverse populations at the director and above. I think that's really where our challenge is going forward. And there are a couple of things that are happening. I think obviously awareness. I think there's, you know, as particularly in the transportation industry, I don't know, Shelley, about you, but over the years, I've kind of gotten to the point where I've become much more vocal about, yeah. about the need for diversity. And when yes. I used to speak with carriers, you know, that would be a topic of conversation to understand, you know, how is your board comprised? How is your leadership team comprised? What about your folks? And just encouraging them to let them know that as a customer of their services, that's an important component to me. So I think, you know, certainly the visibility to that is improving. Having universities focus on it, as I mentioned, is a big deal. There are more more conferences and things that are, you know, typically are now offering visibility and making maybe like a CSCMP or a Retail Industry Leaders Association that where several thousand people attend. You know, a lot of times they have carve outs for women's groups to help them network separately and continue to provide support. And I think all of those things make a huge difference. But, you know, as an industry, it is a challenging industry without a doubt. In many ways, it is 24/7. And, you know, a lot of people, both male and female, kind of look at it and like, why would I want to do that? Why? I don't want that. But I think once you get in it and you see what an impact you can make and the it's kind of that adrenaline rush to try and get you moving. I think it helps, but we do need to make sure that it is an industry where diverse populations feel welcome and included. And I think there's still an opportunity to improve on that front.
Absolutely.
Well, while you were at Home Depot, you mentored the management folks in the female population there, right? And so I know also you mentioned this being one of your passions. You've got another board membership that has really dovetailed with that as well, right?
Yeah, you know, I felt very fortunate. Home Depot has associate resource groups. So they have the Women's Link group, and that was open to all women, not necessarily in supply chain, but all women at Home Depot. And I had an opportunity to serve as the vice president advisor, the VP advisor to that group. And also Carol Tomei, who I mentioned earlier, she had started a group called Velvet Hammers. Which she started, it's probably been about 20 years ago now, when she happened to realize that, you know, there are not that many women in the ranks at high levels across the company and that the support that was needed, was a little different, because of the level of seniority in the company. And so she started Velvet Hammers, and I also had an opportunity to be the VP advisor for Velvet Hammers. But what I was really passionate about and served as the kind of the founding person, what was for women in transportation, WITH, we used to call it, but then there was enough interest and demand that we expanded it to WITH, Women in Supply Chain. And that was the group that's still going strong today, which I'm very pleased to say that they've kept that alive and going. Because, you know, again, because supply chain has some different interactions and it has some different challenges, you know, it is not necessarily the same as being in accounting or finance or HR. It's kind of a unique set, and women's supply chain certainly benefited from participating in Women's Link and Velvet Hammers. But there are unique sets of challenges that that group was focused on overcoming. So it was really a lot of fun to start that and to see it. Even though it was a rogue associate resource group, it was really a lot of fun to see how that goes. And you mentioned, Kevin, about you might have been referring to AWESOME. Yes. The AWESOME organization, AWESOME stands for Achieving Women's Excellence in Supply Chain Operations Management and Education. Awesome. It's amazing how many times you say awesome in a 48-hour period, but the group truly is awesome. It is targeted for female directors and above, and they've got a symposium that will be upcoming here at the end of the month, and it really does a great they really do a great job of, again, bringing women in supply chain across all industries together to continue to focus on learning and development and networking and supporting one another. So that's one group. However, there's another one that I'm very excited to be a part of. Stephanie Thomas, who is an associate professor at the University of Arkansas, had created Women Impacting Supply Chain Excellence, WISE, for college students. And now the WISE group is, I believe, at 23 different universities across the country, thanks to Stephanie and her group to launch that. And that was focused on women at the university level that are entering in supply chain. But there was nothing in the middle. So Stephanie Thomas, myself, and Natalie Putnam, who is the founder and CEO of Smarter Trucking and has also been in the industry for a number of years, we are launching, as we like to call it, WISE Beyond. So it's Women Impacting Supply Chain Excellence Beyond. So this is for you're out of college, but you're not yet a director or qualified for AWESOME. We are serving that population, and we're launching our first complimentary webinar on May 1st that we hope everyone will tune in to, and that information's out on LinkedIn. And so we hope that WISE Beyond will continue to help really grow and develop women so that they can make it to that director level and we can fill that gap that we're currently experiencing. So we're really excited about that.
Wow, that's just fascinating. I hadn't heard about WISE or WISE and Beyond, so I think that's really cool. And that was going to be one of my questions, Michelle. It is evolving, and we see in our industry itself, even in the different modes, where there's some, you know, powerful women that are, you know, getting industry awards and getting into that C-level that you're talking about. But it's not just because they're females, because of actually what they've done and their accomplishments, and that's what's so important to highlight. But how does this all? You've got women in trucking, you've got AWESOME, you've got WISE, you got WISE and Beyond. How does that all just kind of come together, and how does somebody know, you know, where to focus their time, how to get involved, and what do they do?
Yeah, you're right. It can be a little overwhelming, and I don't think there is a central location to find out about all of the groups yet, but that is something that we might be working towards as an industry to help folks understand how they can leverage the different groups, because they all have a little different focus. And obviously, we're working hopefully towards a time period where they will all be for naught. It's like, I can't even believe. Remember in 2024 when we started, you know, WISE Beyond, that's so funny. You know, thankfully we don't need that anymore. But I think we're still a little ways away from that. So until we get to that critical mass that we've been striving for, I think anything that we can do to support one another is a good thing.
I'm not sure they'll all be for naught, right? I mean, so what's so cool about them is they're creating this network. And so it's almost like traffic clubs. You remember back in the day where it was the old traffic club, and you go to a park and somebody be cooking burgers or something, and they're all drinking beers, and this is the traffic club, right? I mean, I don't remember ever discussing transportation at any of those, I'll be honest with you. But, you know, it was a network of people that you really enjoyed hanging out with, that you learned from, that you shared experiences with. And hopefully that's what all this actually comes about and creates for everyone, because I think that's how you learn to live in the fast-paced environment. I think that's how you learn to love and enjoy logistics, is having that network of people that kind of live in that same space. And we're all crazy, you know, we're all waking up saying, you know, I'm not the only nuts one out here. So hopefully that's what it turns into.
You know what? I love that view, Shelley. That you're absolutely right. Here I'm thinking I need to work myself out of a job, but maybe it does have a relevancy permanently. And for not necessarily for the same reasons today, but maybe the purpose evolves where we continue to provide that continued support for one another and maybe a little less so on the development and, you know, how do you get promoted, but more on, hey, let's work together to solve great problems and help one another. And I like that. I love that. I'm so glad you shared that.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
Well, I think it underlines what you said earlier in terms of making everyone feel welcome in the industry. And one of the ways that somebody feels like they can be in something for the long haul, like making puns, in for the long haul is knowing that, you know, they see somebody like them up the ladder all the way to, you know, if they want to in 15 years into their career, maybe be that executive level, to know that there's somebody like them that's already done it.
Oh, Kevin, you're absolutely right. We need the role models out there and to make sure that we walk the talk in terms of everyone is welcome. And I mean everyone. We need the brightest people in the industry. We need people that are willing to work with others and really come up with great solutions to hard problems, as we've talked about, and really work together. And you're right. The more that we can demonstrate that we are inclusive, I think that helps people make the decision that, sure, you know what, I'll give it a try. And I think once we get them in, if we don't kill them off, then they will stay in.
So speaking to that, Michelle, so what about, and we're talking about, you know, working with the kids and cultivating them as they're young and bringing them up through the ranks. But what about folks that listen to us and oddly enough think these crazy people are cool? I want to join their fun crowd. I want to be a cool kid. But they're already in another industry and they're looking to get into logistics. Are there opportunities for them to help kind of get some education, get some training to move over to the dark side of logistics?
Yes, we would love to have that. And again, because you can be in almost any discipline in any industry, and the majority of those skills are transferable into a supply chain role. And I think that's what folks really need to take note of, is that chances are you have many transferable skills that even if you are in a totally different part of the world, you can still say, oh yes, wait a minute. If my primary job responsibilities are to solve problems and to use data and all these kinds of things, if that's what I really need, then hey, what luck. I'm doing it elsewhere, but I can do it here as well. So I think part of it is just to realize that you don't have to grow up to be a box kicker, as we used to say, to be in distribution. You don't have to have driven a truck to be in transportation. There are a lot of great jobs that you can come in midstream. And although those skills of being a truck driver and being someone in, you know, a distribution dock worker are fabulous as you climb up the ladder, you don't necessarily have to have those to be successful, because you can bring other skills with you. So I think part of it is just recognizing that it's a lot of fun. It's fast paced. You'll learn a lot. I think a couple of different ways to get started is, you know, the internet is just full of wonderful resources in transportation. Your podcast is the place to come for sure. So hopefully that will attract many people. But Freight Waves is out there and they provide a lot of education. And I'll just put in a quick little plug for my transportation talks that I do through the University of Denver. You know, I've had an opportunity to interview some of the top CEOs in the country, from Shelley Simpson, J.B. Hunt, to most recently Mark Work at Schneider, Joe Hendricks at CSX, Barbara Melvin at the Port of South Carolina, and I've got a full slate. Oh, and let's not forget Lee Beard, who's with Swire Coca-Cola, formerly of Nordstrom and Nike. So, you know, you'll learn a lot about the industry just by taking 30 minutes to listen to some of the podcasts and webinars that are out there. And once you get started, you know, I'd like to think that you'll be inspired and that folks will want to learn more about it. And then you don't have to be in the industry to attend any of the events and conferences that are out there for attending. I know. So although, you know, you may not want to pay the registration fee, but it's still a great way to, that could be the downside. But the knowledge, you don't have to, you know, you can be in a different industry and still attend some of those. And I would also say that if you reach out to folks on LinkedIn and express interest in learning more about the industry, most people will be glad to spend a few minutes to talk about their experience in the industry. So I throw that out there as well.
And real quick, one of the things that keeps resonating with me that you talked about at the very beginning that I think is important for the students, the other folks that are looking to improve upon their career is you said, you know, you chose to be on the shipper side, but you wanted to get into every mode of transportation. And that is resonating with me. So for instance, on my side, you know, I was like, I want to see all the different industries. And so that's why I like being on the service side. But if you think about it, there's a challenge no matter where you're at in your career. And if you choose to do what you did, Michelle, and say, hey, I've done this, I know how to do this, I want to go try and do this, even though it looks like something completely foreign, another language, you know, it's scary. It's a scary beast, like customs. I can't believe you did that. But but I think that's what's the neatest part about what I'm hearing. And I'm loving it as you continue to talk that you chose to go for every single mode and learn every mode, and that would make you that much better. And I think that's what everybody needs to learn is don't just sit there and be complacent with what you're doing, because logistics offers you so many opportunities to say, I got that, now I'm going to go do that.
Absolutely. And there are so many ways to do that. And I will also tell you that part of my motivation for that is I always wanted to be a teacher. And unfortunately, I learned at a very young age that I would not ever live the lifestyle I would like to have become accustomed to on a teacher salary, which is so sad, so sad. One of the most important jobs that we have. Just unfortunately, you don't get compensated that well. But now I'm an adjunct professor at the University of Denver, and I'm taking that knowledge of those various modes and being able to apply that and being able to, you know, speak to a broader group about the challenges from a shipper perspective as you do business with those modes. And so that was also part of my motivation for learning more, is because ultimately someday I wanted to teach and it came to fruition. So who knew?
In the words of the organization, awesome.
Yeah, I was very impressed, by the way, that you're able to, you know, remember every single letter of that abbreviation. That's a tough one.
That is a tough one.
Yes. I was like, this will be a good test to see if we can get through the whole.
Yes, awesome rolls off the tongue very easily. Yeah. What it stands for, not as much.
That's right.
So you talked about the University of Denver. We've actually talked to a couple of other folks who have been involved there as well. I know Diego Anchistegui from the Mexican Intermodal Association was a guest on one of our podcasts a few episodes back. And tell us a little bit more about what Denver is doing with transportation, supply chain, logistics through that institute.
Yes, I'll be happy to. But first of all, tell me, where do I find Diego's interview or all of your previous? And because I'm clearly behind. Oh, yeah. So get results.
Yeah. Well, we have on our website, just intechfreight-logistics.com/podcast. We have all of them on there. And if you just find our podcast on anywhere that you listen normally, we have them on our YouTube channel, Apple, Spotify, wherever.
That's great. Okay. Well, thanks for sharing. So, yes.
Thank you.
I have been involved with the University of Denver. I joined the board of the Transportation Supply Chain Institute in 2010. And that's when Adrian Bailey invited me to join. And Adrian is very persuasive. And so I, of course, said yes. And so it's been fun. The Institute itself has celebrated its 25th anniversary, I think 2 years ago, coming up on 2 years. And they really cater. It's an executive master's degree. They cater to the working high potential employee in various, both on the shipper side as well as on the carrier side. And after you graduate, you come out with a master's of science degree in transportation and supply chain management. So it's a great program, and it is what's great is almost everyone in there has, you know, more than 10 years of service in the industry. They are at various levels in their career. So some are more junior, but there have been EVPs in that class as well, earning their degree. And they are And what I really appreciated is in the timeframe that I've been involved with them, they really stayed very current in terms of what skills and knowledge are needed in the industry today. So although it is transportation supply chain management is the area of focus, it has all of the characteristics of a general MBA program, but you walk out with just a little more emphasis on transportation and supply chain industry, which has been a lot of fun. So it's a great program. And obviously, I think, and I don't want to leave out Indiana University, as we know, they also have a fabulous program, but they're very
they're a little closer for us. Yeah.
They're a lot closer. And, you know, that's my alma mater. And I'm so appreciative to be involved in that program as well. But the programs are two different styles. So IU is wonderful. And, you know, they tend to go with more of the full-time MBA and full-time program on that. And you don't have to necessarily have the years of experience that you need at the University of Denver, where literally you can learn as much from your cohort because of the great skills that they come in with as you do from anyone that's standing in front of the classroom. So it's been a tremendous, I think, you know, they both serve very important populations in the industry, and we need more folks to come through the program and want to come into the industry. And that's certainly one way to do it.
Great, Michelle. You've mentioned a couple of different ways that people can find you, but just for summing up purposes at the end here, where would you want to direct people who want to find more from you?
Oh, thank you. Certainly LinkedIn is probably the easiest way. If you reference this podcast, then I'll know how you came about me and I will certainly reply. So I'm just Michelle Livingstone out on LinkedIn. And then you will also find some of the transportation talks on your favorite social media platform, including YouTube, LinkedIn, and Facebook, Instagram, and the others. So I am out there. But if I can help, I mean, that is certainly one of my personal passions, as I said, is to continue to attract and retain the very best talent in the industry. And if there's something that you think I know that you could benefit from, by all means, reach out to me. I'm happy to help.
Great. Thank you. We appreciate it. And we'll drop some links in the description here too when we post this, so folks will be able to find an easy way to click right over and get some more on from you. So again, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. It was great to see you both, and I look forward to working with you.
Well, thanks very much for joining us for InTech Freight and Logistics, the podcast. We really appreciated having Michelle on. And again, as I mentioned, the links in the description will point people to more from her.
Yeah, absolutely. Michelle was fantastic.
Absolutely. Yeah, a lot of great information and a great career to talk about. And all of the, you know, it definitely is not just a relaxing retirement for her.
No, but there's nothing relaxing in our industry. So, you know, she's just keeping going.
If you want to learn more from us, visit our website, intechfreight-logistics.com. We thank you for listening. Please do like, subscribe, and comment anywhere that you're listening. We love to hear from you. We can also answer an email if you want at podcast@intechfreight-logistics.com as well. So, Shelley, thanks very much.
Thank you.
For Shelley, I'm Kevin, and we'll be back next time.